is that there is a fight. There is a fight, and you better get used to it, because it's not going to stop until the day we come to the Lord comes back. Or we're in a constant battle to possess your soul, so your soul remains firm and steadfast on the things of God. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are not controlled by the flesh and not controlled by any other outside influence, but by controlled by the Spirit of God. Amen. The book says the flesh lusts against the Spirit lusts against the flesh. There is a battle between the flesh and the Spirit for the control of one's own soul. Amen. Your flesh will desire to fulfill its own natural needs. Uncontrollable, actually. Uncontrollable desires it will desire to fulfill. Your spirit will want to do the mind of Christ. As a born-again believer, you have the mind of Christ. It's got to stay on. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, it must stay on. Amen? And sometimes keeping on that mind of Christ will cost me something. Who believes that this morning? It will cost you dedication. It will cost you separation. It will cost you to say, your will be done, not my will be done. Amen? It will cost you to stand with the truth when you can't see the truth working. You just got to believe by faith that God, it's impossible for God to what? To lie to me. If he said it, it'll happen. Now, I've got to fit in the program of that because I don't know the timing of that. We don't. I remember years ago when my little boy was born, getting off the track, John. The little boy, John. Yeah, I've got two boys. My little boy, John, and he had a bone missing between the knee and the ankle, the main bone. And I got a word from the Lord that he would walk and he would talk. This is when he was about 18 months. I had a word from the Lord. The pediatric surgeon wanted to remove the leg immediately. And I said, no, I'm going to believe. It got to a point when he was about 3 and a half that he was damaging himself because we used to call him the holy roller. He could roll faster than you could run. He was like grease lightning. Shoo. And he'd put his two hands like this and he'd roll. But he got calluses around his head where he was bumping his head as he rolled. So I kept praying. And I said, Lord, you are the creator. Is he a creator? I says, you know, I'm worried about you healing his leg. And I'm holding this kid back. You can create a leg. So I said, take his leg. So they took his leg. After they took his leg, they immediately put on this little cast. I mean, you've got to understand, John was about this tall. He's like a little doll. And they put on this cast around this little stump. And they came out with this one-inch piece of dowel. If you know what a piece of dowel is, round wood, with a little piece of wood at the bottom and a shape like a little semicircle and a piece of rubber underneath it. And that was his first leg. And so the Sunday Times came out because they thought, this is amazing. They took a photo of him and he was in the second page of the Sunday Times at the time. This kid taking his first step on these two rails. And all of a sudden, I'm watching him. My wife's there holding the two kids. And anyway, Chrissy and Kenny. Kenny. And they're in the paper. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me and said this. I told you he would walk. Then all of a sudden, I realized I had put God in a box. Immediately, I had put God in the box as I expected him to do as I thought he should do what I think he should do. Then he started deaf school. Then he started signing with his hands. And God says, I told you he would talk. So John walks and John talks. Not the way I walk, not the way I talk. I do now. I do a bit of sign. But I want to tell you something with the things of God. Never limit God. He will have His way. Amen. And He will have His way for His glory. Because out of all that, God's word has been ministered. God's goodness has been displayed. And people's lives have been changed. And we've entered circles of life that we would never, ever have got into before. Spoken to people that we would never, ever have had to minister to before. But in the midst of all that, sometimes when you tell people things like that and they look at you saying, well, that can't be God, you've got to stand and fight. Because your soul, your carnal flesh man would say, you failed. The world would say, I failed. But the spirit man is not subject to the flesh. And if God's getting glory out of something, you've succeeded. Amen? Don't limit your God. We have to learn to fight the good fight of faith. The book of Ephesians is probably one of my most favorite books. In fact, it's probably my second most favorite book. It's like the cherry on top of the cake for me.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Eh? All right. So Ephesians is everything you are. He starts in the book, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Everything you are. I want to go through a few scriptures with you because it's going to lead up to something. Are we ready? This is what you are. Blessed. Us with He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Heavenly places. You're blessed. Just as He chose us in Him, He chose who? He chose you. You did not choose God. He chose you. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. You need to highlight them too. We should be holy and without blame. Before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, according to His good pleasure, He adopted you. His good pleasure. He made us accepted. He made us accept. Nothing I could do can make me accepted. He made me accepted in the Beloved. You've been accepted in the Beloved because He loves you. Not anything I've done, not anything I can perform, not anything I can pray, not anything I can say, not anything I can do. He has done it because He loves you. Amen? Blessed is, I've read that one. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. You have been redeemed. You have been bought back. You have been repurchased. You are a slave. You were once a slave to sin. And you are dead to sin. You were once a slave to sin and you were dead to God without any hope, without any future. One verse says this, you were aliens and strangers to the things of God. Now, you can't get any stronger word than an alien. You are out there. You ain't coming in. You are an alien and a stranger to the commonwealth and the covenants and the promises of God. We were without hope in the world. You weren't just lost. I wasn't just lost. I was dead. I was dead. We are redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Nothing I've done. His grace. I'm going to say that again. When you have an opportunity to thank God in the praise service, there should be a shout in you for His grace. Because once you were dead, but now you're alive. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean the music has to be fantastic. To be honest, it worries me sometimes in the kingdom of God. Because if you can't praise here, I'm wondering if you're really praising at home. Because I haven't got music at home. I haven't got a guitarist and I haven't got singers trying to lead me in. I've got me, myself, and I, and choice. So it worries me sometimes when I don't hear the saints singing. That are they really praises of God at home? Are you with me? Verse 11 says this. In him we also have obtained an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him. I want to talk about purpose for a minute. Purpose causes you to make sure that you walk the walk that he determines for your life. You've got to know purpose for yourself. It's not purpose to fulfill your destiny. It's not purpose to fulfill your desires and your needs. It's his purpose. His purpose is this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's his purpose. Jesus said this in the book of John: for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He knew his purpose. You and I have to be established in purpose so we can move ahead in the purposes of God for his kingdom's sake. It is not about you and I feeling anything. It's about you and I fulfilling something to bring forth the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? Ephesians 2, 1 and 5 says this. And you were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. There is a prince and there's a power of the air that's even now in the air. And he wants to destroy everything God creates, including the new creation in you. His sole purpose of the kingdom of darkness is to extinguish any light in you. Please get a hold of this. In fact, I was challenged last week. A brother came to me and says this: David, if you only had a week left on earth, what would your last message be? This is my last message. I'm not leaving. I'm leaving for Canberra next week. I'm leaving the promised land. I'm going into Canberra, the hellhole. Yes. Praise the Lord. But even they need the light. Where am I up to, David? You were dead in trespasses. You were once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. You are in a battle with the powers of the air. You do not fight flesh and blood, Ephesians says, but you fight principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age. You will fight devils. You will fight principalities. You will fight powers. You can even fight regional devils. Do you know there's regional devils? You will fight devils that are after your home. You will have to fight devils that are after your life. You will have to fight devils that are after your peace. You'll have to fight. Doing all to stand, stand there what? Stand there for. Spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. That spirit, the power of the air, will want to cause disobedience to happen in my life. Disobedience to what? The truth. The truth. He wants you to be disobedient to the truth to fulfill your own, my own, selfish, soulish ways. As a born-again believer, your spirit is born again. You are a brand new creation. Amen? Your spirit is holy. Holy. But your soul is being saved. Amen? The transformation of the mind through the power of the word is a transformation of your soul into alignment with the things of God. It is a process that you will have to challenge yourself in your thinking, challenge yourself in your motives, in your actions. It is a thing that your soul has to bear something for the things of God, which is called the fruit of the Spirit. Another thing, it's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit will develop when you have purpose and you separate yourself to the things of God. The fruit will develop upon the branches. You are, he is the vine, you are the branches. The branches are supposed to bear the what? the fruit. That which I draw from the root will bear the fruit. Whatever I'm drawing from, I will bear the fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad. A bad tree bears bad. So if the fruit is bad, the husbandman will come along and he will trim the branches to bear good fruit. Hallelujah. None of us like that part. None of us want that branch trimmed. We want him to fertilize the ground and let it grow. But if you do not trim it, it becomes wild. It's got to be cultivated and shaped according to the master's fashion. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying about the desires of the body and the mind. This carnal man will carry about the passions of the mind and the flesh. That's what he will do. He cannot control it. I'm going to reiterate this. You cannot control in the natural man. You cannot control sin. It is your master. You are, in fact, the Bible says we were once slaves to sin. It is our master. If I walk in the flesh, it is the master of me. If you're not born again, it is your master and your kingdom. In the book of Genesis, when the Lord cursed the serpent, do you remember that? He says, on your belly all the days you shall go, and you shall eat the dust of the what? The earth. Your body is made up of what? Of the dust. God went into the dust to make man. Your flesh is made of dust. And when I'm not in the spirit, he can partake of me. In fact, my Bible says, I'm his food. He partakes and eats of me. He wants to destroy everything God created in your life. There is no good in him. There is no negotiation with sin. You either deal with it or it will have its way. And what it does, it kills things in me. It will kill your joy. It will destroy your peace. It will destroy your community and your communion with one another. It will destroy your communion with God. He wants you so isolated that he can get a hold of you, where all of a sudden we become vindictive to the things of God because that didn't happen, or this didn't happen, or they said that, or they did this. May I tell you something this morning? There is always going to be someone in Christendom, I'm talking about church now, there is always going to be someone that will disappoint you, let you down, hurt you. And the minute you and I start a war against flesh, even in Christendom, Christians fighting Christians, Christians gossiping against one another, Christians devouring one another, Christians hating one another, Christians unforgiving toward one another, Christians living a lifestyle that might be appeasing here, but outside. The Bible warns me, be careful that you do not bite and devour one another. Does it say that? There is no such thing as friendly gossip. Gossip is gossip. There is no such thing as a white lie. It's a lie. In fact, I'm going to go one step further with this. A lie has a genesis from the father of lies. It's impossible for God to lie. But God, I love it when we go through all this and all of a sudden you see a but God. But God, verse 4, rich in mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Your God, my God, is rich in mercy toward me. Being rich in mercy because of the what love? Great love. You need to parenthesize it. It's not just love. There's a great love toward you and I. This great love that he has toward me. This great love that he has towards you. Right? Which he loved us. Even when we were dead in my trespasses, he still loved me with a great love. So when I'm going something wrong in my soul, never be embarrassed to run to Father, because he's already got this great love. You don't have to win his love. You don't have to get approval for his love. You just got to repent so he can wash you again in that love. But the devil will lie to you. He'll say this: you've blown it. You can't be forgiven. You've mucked it up too much. And all of a sudden he wants to estrange that light in me, that love. But while you still got breath, there's always an opportunity to get back to Father. Can I have an amen? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. Can you just say that with me? By grace, I've been saved. By grace. Nothing you've done. By his great love toward me. By his extension of his grace towards me. By his love toward me through his Son Jesus Christ. He's never given up on me. But you've got to be aware, with all this blessedness, with all this love, with all this wonder of his grace and his mercy, there's another one that knows this. The devil, the enemy of my soul, just doesn't know that I've been born again. He knows exactly what's been parted toward me and what has been shown toward me. And he wants to snuff it out. He wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your peace. He wants to destroy that love. But God. Next one, please. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13 says this: that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, oh, I love that. But now, hallelujah. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. Says this in 14, he is our peace. Says in 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and sojourners, foreigners, but fellow citizens. You have a new citizenship. You belong to a new creation. You belong to a new kingdom. He has translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. He did it. Amen? He did it. Therefore, as sons of light, there is a light in you that the world needs to see. As sons and daughters of light, there is a light in you that the world needs to see. And it isn't from you. This light is not your goodness. This light is not your empathy. This light is not your wisdom. This light is not how you do things. This light is not your kindness. This light is the life of God. 3 and 10 says this: to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, both the angels and the hosts of heaven with God, and the demonic powers of darkness know it. They know what's been given to you. They know who's in you. They know you're born again. And now there's going to be a fight. They want you and I ineffective. They want you and I to be in a place of stagnancy, in a place of, well, come see, come saw, whatever will be, will be. He wants you to forget that you're chosen. He wants to forget you that God's your peace. He wants you to forget that there's mercy abounding to you. He wants you to forget that there's a great love that won you. He wants you to forget that he reached out to you. He wants you to forget that he chose you, you didn't choose him. He wants you to forget all that. And that's why he's in a fight. Hallelujah. Walking victoriously is to be a person of purpose. Walking victoriously is to be a person of purpose. So 1, 2, and 3 is telling me who I am, what he's done for me, the goodness of God, the riches of God. Chapter 4 tells me to walk in the unity. I will never walk in unity with a brother unless I know who I am. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, dissensions. Is that what 1 Corinthians 3 says? All this stuff from the carnal-minded babe in Christ. There will always be something that they will battle with, these babies, they will battle with because of jealousies and whatever it is. But God's saying, if you know who you are, you can walk in unity. If you really know who you are, you'll not get jealous of a brother or sister. You'll celebrate them. Amen? That's maturity. Chapter 5 says, walk in love and light of the truth. Walk in love and light of the truth. Paul was telling the church of Ephesus in the first three chapters what they were, who they were, because of Jesus and his work on the cross and his conquering sin and his resurrection. Amen? But he tells me to put something on. Chapter 6, he warns me. Therefore, put on the armor of God. The first thing he tells in the armor of God of chapter 6. One and two, three and four and five and six. The first thing he mentions is this. Put on the belt of what? Put on the belt of truth. First thing he mentioned. Why the belt of truth? Why would God start with the belt of truth? Why not the sword? Why not the breastplate of righteousness? Why truth? Why would Jesus or the Spirit of God start with truth? Because everything we do has to be established on the truth. Everything else hangs off the truth. Are you with me? The truth is not just saying something correct. The truth is a person. Jesus says in 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Am I back on? Awesome. Everything must be established on truth. Therefore, as sons of God, it should be natural for me to just walk in the truth. Truth should not be foreign to me. No matter what happens, I should speak truth. Amen? This belt of truth. I'm going to go quickly now because I'm running out of time. Bear with me. On this belt of truth hangs things. The sword. It also tightens the clothes of the soldier. And he can tuck it into the belt to run the race. To run into battle. Amen. It also does this. It holds tightly the breastplate so it doesn't move around for when he's in battle. The belt has to be held tightly in the midst of the man. May I say this, saints of God? You better hold tightly the truth because it will keep the righteousness of God in you. On the breastplate that covers the what? Covers one's heart. And out of the heart flows what? Proverbs 4, 23, is it? The issues of life. The issues of life. In other words, the heart reaches every part of your body. The blood of the heart feeds every essence, every cell of your body is fed from the heart. Amen. If he can affect or poison your heart, he can poison the rest of your body. Your mind, your walk, your ways. I must make sure the belt is tight enough so my heart is protected enough for battle. For out of my heart will come forth the issues of life. And these issues will affect everything I do. Just like the natural heart affect, you have a heart attack, you stop. You just stop. Hey? Hallelujah. The breastplate of righteousness, not your righteousness, but His righteousness. We are declared the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, that's truth. I stand on the truth. I mightn't feel it. I mightn't even sometimes accept it. I might actually argue with it because I know what I think. I know how I think. I know what I'm doing. But God is declaring that you're righteous in Christ. As long as I'm staying in Christ, amen. Here's another footnote and hint about being in Christ. Ephesians says this, those who are hidden in Christ. Remember that? Those who are hidden in Christ. When you're in Christ and you're hidden with Him alone, He can't find you. As I go revert back to the flesh, He partakes of me. Hallelujah. God is rich in mercy. We were without hope, being aliens. He was our peace. He's our new citizenship. He desires to show wisdom, to get us to a place of knowing His love, grace and mercy, blessing and provision. So we too can walk as He walked in the unity of the brethren. That's the emphasis, the unity of the brethren. He does all that, then He warns us. Not only do you know it, but the principalities and the powers of darkness know it, then there's a fight. I want us to awaken to this, because what happens is the enemy can bring a lullaby song with us and cause a sleepiness and a drowsiness in your spirit to think, oh, well, you know, nothing ever changes, nothing ever's happening. Oh, well, you know, I've done all I can do and nothing's changing around my life. I'm telling you something. You mightn't see it externally what's changing, but if you're allowing God to do what He needs to do in you, there's a change internally. There's a change internally. And His fruitfulness will come forth when the pressure's on. Hallelujah. Therefore, fight. The kingdom of darkness knows the promises and the potential of His beloved bride. Walking victoriously is to be a person of purpose. Turn with me to Isaiah 21, verse 5. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. Says this, they prepare the table, they spread the rug, they eat, they drink. Arise, O princes, oil the shield. Oil your shield. This is anointed faith. A place where you anoint your shield is a place of separation and preparation. You don't do it in the midst of the battle. You have to be prepared well beforehand. You've got to get your shield out, and what they used to do, they used to oil that shield until it became pliable and flexible. So when any blow came along, any dart, it would bounce off, it would reflect. But when there's a dryness about the shield, it would be pierced. Therefore, they were told to oil their shields. Oil their shields in a place as a place of preparation. Oiling your shields when you're alone and you separate yourself to God, and all of a sudden, that communion with Him, that separation with Him, that oil that's flowing between you and Him prepares and anoints the faith to another level. Who wants extended a greater faith? It is no use calling greater faith down from heaven. You and I have got to separate ourselves and prepare ourselves so the oil will flow out of relationship with Him. It anoints your faith. You won't even know it. You won't even know it. But when the battle comes, you got the capacity and the anointing to stand and do all to stand there for. Amen? Preparation means separation. To have our faith come to another level comes from a place of separation with Him. There is no shortcut. We can't be like the five foolish virgins. Going to your brother and say, can I have some of your oil? Can I have some of your oil? What did they say to Him? They said, go and buy for your... In other words, there's a price to pay for the oil. Do you believe that? there's a price to pay for that oil. Most likely they wanted to give them some. My wife would have given them all some. She's so generous. She'll go, oh, yeah, come on, pour it in. Then she'd go, Dave, can I have some of yours? After she's given all hers away. That's what she's like. We're things we hope for. The things we hope for are what's on the Father's heart. Faith is the substance of things. Faith is the substance of things. The evidence of things not yet. Faith is not hoping for a new car. The faith he's talking about is the hope of the Father's heart. I want to see the Father's heart fulfilled. I want to see his desires completed. I want to see his kingdom come. With that hope, there's another level of faith. Amen. To see the kingdom of darkness pushed back. My Bible says when gross darkness abounds, grace abounds much more. There is coming days where it's not just going to have darkness upon the earth. There's going to be gross darkness. I was listening to this man the other day about gender realignment. We're now in America from the 90s onwards where children as young as six, young boys, getting realigned to become a girl. Six. By the time they're 20, there's ministries now that are ministering to these young men because they've realized that they were abused by the medical profession. And their path can't be put back on. Where we've got this university was arguing with this young man, this one young man. And all he said to them was this, tell me how many genders there are. This professor woman said there's hundreds. And all he said was this, XX, XY. XX, boy. XY, girl. How many sets of chromosomes are there? She goes, but that's not gender. He said, that's the lie. That's the lie. Hear me. We are having a generation of young people coming through universities so screwed up in their heads. I'm sorry to have to say this, but it's the truth. So screwed up in their heads by these whacked, woked professors that are influencing their young minds to believe that they can be anything. One young woman actually said to this young man, I choose to be a dog. He went, woof, woof. Then he said this, I choose to be black. And she looks at him, he says, am I black? She goes, no. He says, so it doesn't matter what you choose. You are what you are. We have got to be ready. Because this stuff isn't just affecting the natural minds of those who don't know Jesus. But it will try and creep in to the house of God and our children and our grandchildren. This influence, this wickedness, this darkness, this gross darkness. You think, as in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, that is going to be a picnic to what's coming. And you better be ready for the fight. Because it's going to start knocking on people's doors. And no one's going to be exempt. We are going to have to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to have to imprint and impose the Word of God into our children, our children's children, no matter how long it takes, so they know that they know that they know that they know there is a God. That He is absolute control. And nothing, absolutely nothing, bypasses Him. And He alone is the truth. Amen. You and I have got to be ready. Because He wants to snuff out not just your hope, not just the love, not just the mercy and the grace. He wants to snuff out your life. I don't want to scare you. Please, I'm not here to scare you. But in the book of Revelations, it says this. And the death of the martyrs. Some of us, if we're still here, some of us will have to make a choice and make a stand. A martyr is one that dies for their faith. It says, and when the martyrs had been completed, because God said to them, Lord, when will you avenge our blood? That's what they cried from the throne. When will you avenge our blood? When will you avenge our blood? He says, wait. Just wait. Because there's more martyrs to die. Just wait. When the number has been completed, then. Amen. We are in a day where we will have to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. I want to provoke you. I want to stir you. I want to give you purpose. We have got to get ourselves ready for that hour. We have got to get ourselves ready for that day. Amen. And listen to me. In the world, there's no truth in it. If the world is the kingdom of darkness, and the king of that darkness is the liar. In fact, turn with me to Romans 1. This is off cuff. I'll finish with this. Romans 1. I think it's, can you find that one? Where they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Love, can you find that one? Oh, I don't want that. Romans 1, 8? 18, okay. Let's read that. Here we go. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. What's happening today in society is that they're not against other religions. If you're a Buddhist, they're not against you. If you're a Hindu, they're not against you. If you're a Muslim, they're not against you. But if you mention that word Christian, because, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, all of His creation bears witness. Everything. It bears witness of the triune of God, the Trinity. There is nothing created that God created that is not three-dimensional. Everything from the smallest of the smallest is three-dimensional. Breadth, height, width. It is three-dimensional. All of creation bears witness of Him. Amen? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image by corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. This happened the very first time it ever happened was when Aaron asked for the gold and threw it into the fire. Now hear me. Listen to this. Out came a golden calf. Not formed by man, not touched by man. It just came out. It came out because there was another hand ministering there called the devil. Out of the fire came a golden calf. Man will want to worship anything with the true God. When the corruptible flesh is always looking to worship something, they will worship football, they will worship a footballer, they will worship a sports person, they will worship a successful person, they will worship anything because inside them there's a need to worship something. But they'll alienate themselves from the things of God. Who changed the glory? I read that. Therefore, God gave them over. Now, this is the most scariest scripture in the whole Bible. This is the most profound, scariest scripture in the whole Bible. I'm going to read it very slowly. Hear me. Therefore, God also gave them up. Now, when God gives you up, there's no hope. God gave them up to what? Uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. How did they dishonor their bodies? Let's read it. Who exchanged the truth. Who's the truth? For the lie. Who's the lie? Satan. Who exchanged the truth for the lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, here's it again, God gave them up. Now, Peter says he desires not one to perish, no, not one. But there is a limitation on the grace of God where if you don't repent, when you know the truth, now I'll reiterate that, when you know the truth, his hand will lift. Likewise, here it is, their vile passions. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman. This woke business is not new. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with lust in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving for themselves the penalty of the error that was due. Homosexual churches don't read this scripture. You look shocked. The fastest growing church in California is a homosexual church. In fact, a very good friend of mine went there. He was a very successful pastor at the time. And he said to his mate, "This place rocks. The music was good. The light show was good. The smoke machine smelled good. Everything was good. 6,500 men. And about 300 women. And he looked around, he said to his mate, "Not many women here." And then the pastor got up and preached that God loves the homosexual and there's nothing wrong with it. I'm here to tell you some truth. There is something wrong with it. The Bible calls it a vile passion. In fact, it will condemn you to hell unless you repent and turn. Does he love them? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he will walk them to the gates of hell, hoping that they would turn. For when you are faithless, he has to remain faithful. And that doesn't mean when you lack faith, he's going to be faithful to you. That means when you are faithless towards him, he has to be faithful towards his word. My Bible says that his word is above his name. You can say amen, hallelujah, bless Jesus, praise God, love your Lord, thank you, Jesus. You can say all that. But if you are faithless toward him, he will remain faithful to his word. Who exchanged the truth. I'm going to finish on this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. You know, God didn't have to actually hand them over to Satan at all. God never handed them over to darkness. All he handed them over to was their own corrupt mind. Hand them over to their debased minds to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Now, parents, listen to this one. So, and all that. See, now, that's wicked, isn't it? Then he says this at the end. Disobedient to parents. Why? Because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgments of God and those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's in the church. That's in his bride. Unforgiveness, anger, resentment, hatred, outbursts of wrath. Can I be, is this too honest? Outbursts of wrath, jealousies, envy, murder. He who hates his brother is a murderer. He who looks upon a woman and lusts after her has already committed adultery. Just the look. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. To get this debased mind off, I must wash my mind with the water of the word till it is transformed. He will not take it from me. I must see it be transformed by the power of the word of God. I must walk in the Spirit, then I shall not fulfill the lust of my... The Spirit keeps me. The Spirit is a safe place. The Spirit is the one who will lead me and guide me into all truth. The Spirit rewards me. The Spirit is the place where my peace and my joy and my mercy and my grace flows to me. It's the peace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the love of God, the abounding love of God. But I must put on the mind of Christ and place the belt of truth around me. Shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel. Breastplate of righteousness. Sword of the Spirit. Oh, we like that one. Sword of the Spirit. Casting down vain imaginations. Casting down words and things that have been spoken to me and against me. Doesn't mean I go along and stab another Christian. We're good at that. We're good at telling other Christians where they're going wrong. Pointing this finger, but three are pointing back. Jesus says this, take the log out of your own eye before you can take the speck out of your brother's. Hallelujah. Your God's love for you is so great. But he expects you to stand and stand, therefore, be ready to fight. Be ready to fight what your soul wants to reject. Be ready to fight what your natural passions will want to chase. Be ready to fight. Use the word of the Lord, and it will come down. Jesus taught us that. He rebuked the devil by the word of God. Speak the word, and the word will make you, the truth will make you what? Free. Let's stand. You can breathe because next week's Christmas and we can celebrate. But please hear my heart. The last thing I ever want to see for God's kingdom, and especially us as a body of believers, is a wishy-washy faith. I want us to be so purposeful, so switched on, so ready, so to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing. I want that. I want that for every one of you. I want you to be so successful that the world beholds, what have they got? Like Smith Wigglesworth when he walks in a train, sits down in the carriage, three men opposite him. He goes to the toilet, comes back, they're all kneeling on the floor, crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" Hadn't spoke to them. Just the presence of the man. Every 15 minutes, reading his Bible. Stops a conversation. "Excuse me, opens his Bible. Thank you." Miracles followed him. Signs and wonders were released through Jesus, through him, to draw a crowd so a gospel could be preached. You and I are here to draw a crowd so a gospel can be preached. There's a gospel locked up inside of you. They overcame him by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their. Your testimony is your gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to join me, you can. No pressure. But I can't get enough of him. I want more. I want more. I know it's going to cost. But I believe the world will never, ever, ever come to him unless his lamp is shining brightly in his church. If you want to join me, you can. Father, I ask you today, Lord, dethrone anything in my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. I choose this day to follow you wholeheartedly. God, forgive me. Change me. Make me the man or the woman you desire me to be. Father, help me to stand. And doing all to stand, stand therefore. That your kingdom come. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to get you ready from the inside out. He's going to transform you. He's going to shape you. He's going to mold you. He's going to challenge you. Amen. For that anointed faith to come forth. Glory to God. God bless you. Please remember next week, 9:30 at the park, and we'll have some Christmas stuff happening. Maybe a Christmas message. Praise God. Amen. Love you to bits. In Jesus' name, gentlemen, let's do the chairs for our youth. Amen.